Good morning. Never been wired for sound before, so here we go. May the 4th be with you. That's so you'll understand all the memes coming across your social media today. So there it is. Well, good morning. My name is Susie Burge, and I'm here to share a few thoughts with you this morning. We have some of our congregation at Camp Neotes today, and thinking about them probably now coming together to worship God, and we're coming together to worship God as brothers and sisters. It's kind of nice to think about, you know, that there's this unity in worship together and even apart. And the Mathenis talked a couple of weeks ago and gave us the image of the worship of God going around the world, where in Asia, as the morning starts, churches begin to worship, and then as the earth turns and the time zones move around, the worship of God just kind of spreads around the earth for that day. And I like that image a lot, just thinking of all of us together worshiping. So, I'm thankful you are here. I'm not going to call this a sermon. That sounds like I have deep wisdom to impart to you all. I'm just going to call this a sharing. And I have some thoughts that I'd like to share with you this morning that really are sort of a follow-up to a communion talk that I gave a few weeks ago. I gave the communion talk a few weeks ago, and I talked about wanting to be all in following Jesus. I wanted to be walking with Jesus, following Jesus, and it felt like sometimes I was trying to do that on one foot because my other foot was hesitant, was doubtful, was fearful, was reluctant, wanted to stay in my comfort zone, and so on. So sometimes I felt like I was trying to follow God, hopping along on one foot, which doesn't really work, you know. And so my desire then was to be all in with Jesus, walking with Jesus, following Jesus. So that was my communion talk from a few weeks ago. I got a lot of positive responses from that, and I just want to say thank you, a lot of positive feedback, because we all do need encouragement, and I appreciate that. Thank you. However, I also got a little bit of a push, and that's really a good thing that we have those friends that are going to give us a little push. So I went to lunch with this friend after service, and she said some nice things and encouraging things. It was very good. And then she said, "I have a question." And I was like, "Okay, shoot, what?" And she said, "What do you mean?" And I was like, "Excuse me?" And she said, "What do you mean by that? What do you mean by wanting to be all in following Jesus? What do you mean that you want to walk with him, follow him with both feet? What does that look like? What are the practical realities of that in your daily walk? What does that mean? What does that look like? What does that mean?" I've been a teacher 33 years, so I know how to answer that. That's a great question. You guys have heard that, right? That's a great question. I'll have to get back to you on that. So I went home, and I've been studying, and I've been praying, and I've been reading, and I've been asking God, and I've been trying to implement some things in my life that then become the practical realities of trying to follow Jesus on his path with both feet, being all in. And so those thoughts I'd like to share with you this morning, just as sort of a follow-up to that talk. Okay. So he said, follow me, you know, and as his disciples, we want to follow him and walk with him on this path. So how do we do that? How? So first I thought, well, there are examples from his life here on earth. He had a close relationship with God. He knew the scriptures. He could quote them whenever he needed to. He spent time in prayer. All the fullness of God dwelt in Jesus bodily, and yet he went aside early to pray, by himself to pray. He spent a lot of time in prayer with God. So these were some examples from his life for me, to spend time with God, to spend time in the Word, in the Scriptures, and to spend time in prayer. So those were examples. But then I also thought, well, let me look at some of the things Jesus said. And so I've got some scriptures to share this morning. The first one is in Mark 12, 28. One of the scribes came up and heard them disputing, and seeing that he answered them well, asked him, which commandment is the first of all? Jesus answered, the first is, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater other commandment greater than these. There's no other commandment greater than these. There is nothing else greater than these. And in Luke 10, 25, a lawyer knew these commandments, but he wanted to justify himself. That was read for us this morning by Jeff. And then he asks, well, yeah, but who's my neighbor, right? And so in response to that, Jesus told the parable of the Good Samaritan, which Jeff read this morning. And the Good Samaritan loved this man in deeds, not just in words, and went sort of above and beyond taking care of him. You know, took him to the inn, said, I'll pay whatever expenses there are. And as I thought about this, I thought, he's a Samaritan. This guy he was helping may not have been his same religion, his same culture, his same nationality, and he was a complete stranger. And yet he poured himself out to help this man and loved him by serving him. And the last words of Jesus in this parable were, go and do likewise, which was sort of impacting me. Jesus said, I didn't come to be served, but to serve, so follow me. So in following him, we need to serve. In 1 John 3:18, we're not to love in word or in talk, but in deeds and in truth. But I did want to be clear here that our good deeds that we're doing do not earn us salvation. We are not going to be good enough to get to heaven. That doesn't happen. I don't know where that idea came from, really. But our salvation is the free gift of God through grace, through mercy, through Jesus' sacrifice. And it's not something that we can earn at all. And so in Ephesians, oh, my little markers are sliding out. All right, here we go. In Ephesians 2, 8 and 10, it says, for by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It's the gift of God, not because of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God has prepared things ahead of time that we should be walking in and that we should be doing. Do I see those things he's prepared for me Am I doing them? But again, these good works do not earn us our salvation. They're a result of following Jesus. Because when I get to heaven, God is going to say, Susie, and I'm going to say the blood of Christ. He's going to say, now Susie, and I'm going to say Jesus' blood covers me. And he's going to say, Susie, and I'm going to say, that's all I got. Nothing in my hand I bring, only to your cross I cling. Lord, Jesus' blood. And he's going to say, welcome. He's going to say, welcome in. But let's also look at Matthew 25, 34 through 40. This is a parable of the sheep and the goats, and I know you guys are familiar with that. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, come, O blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see thee hungry and feed thee, or thirsty and give thee drink? And when did we see thee a stranger and welcome thee, or naked and clothe thee? And when did we see thee sick or in prison and visit thee? And the king will answer them, truly, I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Salvation is the gift of God, and when I stand before God, all I've got is Jesus' blood. However, from this parable, it kind of sounds like we're also going to stand in front of Jesus. And he's going to say, did you feed the hungry, Susie? Did you clothe the naked, Susie? Huh. So I started thinking, have I this week fed anybody who was hungry? Well, Lord, you know, I don't really know anybody who's hungry. The people I hang out with have food security, and I was sort of saving my money. I might need it later. And I was really busy that week, you know, just really busy. And I just didn't know what to do about that. I don't think that's going to fly, you know. I think Jesus is going to look at me and go, Susie, did you feed the hungry? Well, have I this week fed anybody that was hungry? We have a food pantry. We have at church here a service that feeds 50 people a month, they're saying, you know, in this general area. So I thought, have I helped the food pantry? Am I supporting the food pantry? Did I bring food this morning for the food pantry? Have I donated online for the food pantry? Have I offered to help with the food pantry? They're feeding the hungry, right? I thought, well, I could support the food pantry. That might be the least I could do. And as a famous comedian said, you know, never let it be said I didn't do the least I could do, right? Yeah. But I thought, well, that's just a real obvious thing to do. Did I clothe the naked? How many pieces of clothing are hanging in my closet? Probably half of it that I never wear, I never put on, or I put on and I take it off, or it doesn't really fit me. Somebody else could be using that, right? Have I visited someone sick this week? Today, this week. Have I helped someone with a utility bill? Have I given someone a ride to the doctor? What about prison? There are prison ministries around, if we just look around. There's a bakery called the Laughing Bear Bakery that operates near Tower Grove Park. It's a nonprofit, and its sole purpose is to employ people recently released from prison and helping them have a job and start getting some skills and getting back into society. And they accept donations, right? Have I welcomed a stranger? Have I smiled at somebody? Have I been kind today? Well, yeah, there are people in this congregation doing good deeds to the glory of God, and I don't want to sound like there's not. There are people right now in the nursery, teaching children's classes, working in children's worship, volunteering for VBS, teaching adult classes. There's a lady getting widows together for lunch and in fellowship and encouragement. There are groups of people who visit widows and the elderly doing yard work, chores, repairs. There are people working in the food pantry, people who organize mitten and coat donations, people giving money so that the finances here can help people with utility bills, people giving money to NEATES, to CFS. There are people having others in their home every week just to help people get to know one another, hosting the youth group, helping host the ACTS college group, small groups on Sunday nights. There are people visiting the sick and taking in foster children, people sending cards, giving rides, praying for people, people organizing meals, setting up in the gym, working in the kitchen, cleaning up, the tech team, the worship organizers, the praise team, all those who serve in worship service. So there are a lot of people doing a lot of good deeds in this congregation, and I am thankful for that. That glorifies God. But you know what? This is a time for me to examine myself and to say, am I following Jesus by serving others in love? What did I do today? What am I doing this week? In 2 Corinthians 4, 5, for what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. It's a triangle. It's a triangle. We preach Jesus is Lord, and we are serving others for the sake of Jesus, right? We serve God by serving others for Jesus' sake. So it's like a triangle. We serve God by serving others. And in Matthew 5:16, this is Jesus speaking, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So we don't do it for our own praise, our own glory. We do it to glorify God. So I've been encouraged to examine myself, and I just would encourage you to examine yourself. The question is, in my daily walk, what am I doing? What am I doing every day, every week, to love as Jesus loves and serve as Jesus served? Now, I want to share another familiar scripture. It's in Matthew 7:24. This is about the wise man building the house on the rock and the foolish man building on the sand. I always get nervous when somebody's going to preach about or talk about this scripture because I think it's done incorrectly a whole lot of the time. I think people use this scripture to say we should build our lives on Jesus as a foundation. That's true, you know. Jesus should be the foundation. He's a rock we can build our lives on. That's true. But that's not what this parable is about. So, starting in verse 24, Jesus says, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house. But it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So it's really talking about obedience. It's really talking about obedience. If we hear the words of Jesus and do them, or if we hear the words of Jesus and we don't do them, we've got a shaky, shaky foundation with that. There was a preacher here years ago, and he had a saying that was, "How are you doing with that?" We'd hear a lesson, we'd hear a sermon, we'd hear a scripture, we'd hear a class, we'd think, "Oh, that was a good lesson." And he'd say, "Yeah, how are you doing with that?" And I appreciated that. We all appreciated that. It was like, okay, so it was a good lesson. How am I doing? How am I doing with that? So I give you permission. Ask me, how are you doing with that? Ask me next week, though, right? Don't start today. Give me a week to... But yeah, how are we doing about that? And again, it does not have to be huge acts of service, you know. It can be kind, smile at somebody, talk to somebody, reach out to somebody. If you said you would pray for somebody, pray for them, right? Let somebody merge in front of you on the highway. Don't get mad. Give them some space, right? Say hello to the cashier. Be kind. You just never know how that's going to affect people. Even the little things count so much. And in Matthew 10:42, Jesus said, "Whoever gives to one of these little ones even a cup of cold water, because he's a disciple, truly I say to you, he shall not lose his reward." The little things count. The little things count. So smile, be helpful. And finally, my last slide, slide 7, is a quotation from Janice Stanfield, an educator, speaker, songwriter. And she says, "You can't do all the good the world needs, but the world needs all the good that you can do. And we do it to bring glory to God, and because we are followers of Jesus." So let's pray together, please. Father, we are so, so blessed. Thank you for all that you've given us. Please help us be good stewards, Lord, of all that you've given us. Help us examine ourselves. Help us follow you in truth and in action, Father, in our lives, wholeheartedly looking for those paths that you've prepared for us to walk in, for those deeds that you've prepared for us to do, Lord. Open our eyes. Help us see. Help us respond. Help us glorify you by serving others. Father, I pray that this week, 10 more people will bring things for the food pantry. I pray that 10 more people will donate online to the food pantry. I pray that 10 more people will give extra in their tithing so that utility bills might be paid for people who need help. God, I pray that 10 more people will sign up to host the youth group in their homes, to host the X college group. God, I pray that 10 more people will join a Sunday night small group. Father, I pray that 10 more people will volunteer in the nursery, that 10 more will volunteer to teach a children's class. I pray that 10 more people will have a person in their home for a meal this week, or will reach out to somebody to go to coffee, to go to lunch. I pray that 10 more will visit the sick and the shut-ins. Pray that 10 more will spend time in prayer. Father, we are yours. Everything we have is yours. Help us live out that truth this week. Please let your spirit move in us and help us listen. Please open our eyes to opportunities all around us to love as you love, and to serve as you served. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.